Headquarters, 55th Regiment, Massachusetts Infantry, Palatka, Florida, April 9th, 1864. My dear Eaton, the rain again. It comes down in floods when it comes at all. The days and weeks pass by with little variety and great dullness. Now and then a picket is gobbled up, or we take a secesh prisoner or Indian, or their cavalry come around and we turn out and exchange salutations. My regiment is still in three portions, and only half of it with me. A great injury, of course, to its efficiency. The companies here are in good condition, and, in spite of little opportunity for drill in the last 2 months, they are said to march, handle their rifles and tin better than any here. But the great outrage of withholding their pay continues, and the distress of the men is getting almost too great for endurance. Here is a regiment enlisted by the written promise of the Secretary of War to Governor Andrew that they should have the pay and rations and treatment of white troops. That promise, being repeated to them by us all, and to this day not made good. I am sometimes almost in despair, and am indignant, and sometimes think evil of all mankind when I see and feel this gross injustice. The men are dying by disease and bullets. Their families are often refused admittance to the almshouses for their color, and in some cases that I have been informed of, their wives have proved unfaithful and have been reduced to infamy from destitution. Can flesh and blood stand these things? I do not know how my men have so patiently and nobly performed every task and duty assigned to them so far, but this they cannot continue long unless they are righted. And here are men who talk largely of their efforts for colored men and go to work ostensibly to get the pay for them, but rally behind their own detestable axes. Friend, there is much that one sees in the army to make him either a knave or as ugly and suspicious as a wild beast. I do not know if I have ever written you of one difficulty I have had, from an unfortunate selection of a few of my officers, a misfortune that other colored regiments have had even more than mine. Colonel Hollowell, who is as fine a man as ever lived, could be too easily persuaded, or sometimes, and he accepted two or three utterly incompetent men and others who just accepted for missions here in order to get out of the ranks. The last, of course, were men devoid of honor or principle, and I have had to hold a tight rein over them. Eventually, I hope to be rid of them, but if there had not been true, excellent officers to the regiment to redeem these, I do not know how the regiment could have been kept in order. I have recommended one of our colored sergeants for a commission, a fine, gentlemanly, efficient man he is. This will disgust two or three who will probably leave to my great relief. The adjutant, you know, should be a most efficient and accomplished officer and gentleman. Adjutant Hollowell was such, but he was never strong enough to join to the army, and left us last October, not resigning, however, until very recently. This has obliged me to perform most of the labor that commanding officers usually have nothing to do with. I hope soon to have a first-rate adjutant who can run that department properly. Colonel Hollowell's leaving left one injurious effect on the regiment in causing some to think that they might be deserted by those who had promised them so-and-so, and to whom they naturally looked for address. They got a notion lately that I was going to resign, and some of them said if I left they would break their guns and never do a day's duty until they were paid, so I was told by one of the line officers. I assured them that I should not leave on my own accord until I had seen this thing through. We get few letters or papers, and those are far between, at this out-of-the-world place. Write as often and as fully as you can. I do not know if you are interested in my domestic matters as I write them, but the fact is that having scarcely anyone to talk or write confidentially with, I have to put these things in black and white sometimes. You must not infer that I am living a discontented life. I do not, indeed, like the life, and would gladly be out of it if I thought it were right to leave, but I usually pass the time well enough by keeping busy or by enjoying all that is pleasant and amusing around me. I wish you and Emily could see my boy Joe perform. Everybody is taken with him. He is so smart and droll. Just now he ran out to get his blanket that he has forgotten in the rain. He brought it in well soaked. Joe, what does J-A-C-K-A-S-S spell? Answer, jackass. It is somebody that don't know enough to go when it rains. My blanket is a jackass then, says the young rascal. A blanket is not somebody, is it? Joe, a jackass ain't anybody. I just called him in to say, Joe, what time is it? Don't know, sir. Don't tell me you don't know. He rushes to the adjutant's office and returns saying, 5 minutes past 2, sir. The man who takes care of my horses is a fine, manly fellow who used to be with Colonel McCullough in an Illinois cavalry regiment and who rode by master's side at Fort Donelson, Shiloh, and Corinth. He used to tend trotting horses out west. Always used to have some fast horses at the annual fair at St. Louis. He is a treasure to me. Saturday evening. This afternoon, Colonel Barton, 48th New York Commanding, gave a dinner to the commanding officers of the post. Mrs. Colonel Barton and Mrs. Dr. Mulford, the former very bright and pleasing, the latter rather handsome but vulgar, at any rate, weak. Wine there. Colonel Montgomery and Captain Breeze of the gunboat Ottawa and Mr. Joss Hoxie of New York City arrive presently. The band of the 48th New York gave us magnificent music in the garden after dinner, which was pleasant company. The orange blossoms and flowers made quite an episode and life at Palatka. This eve has been passed by the underlined and a quick game of whist at Colonel McDonald's 47th New York. The Maple Leaf was blown up by a rebel torpedo passing down the river from here last week. She was the boat in which we came to this department last summer, and I had been on her with troops last year at North Carolina. A fair secessionist across the river, married 46 years, has just made me a fine palmetto hat, but no trimmings to be had for it. Love to Sister Samantha and to you all. Yours, Alfred S. Hartwell.